Be'ez Hashem Yisbach, we begin Perek Asiri, the 10th Perek in the Rambam Hilchos Gerush and the Laws of Divorce in the Sefer Nashim, where the Rambam continues in the theme regarding the halachas of divorce, specifically regarding after a problematic divorce, what's halacha with marriage after that, and also when to go ahead and do a Gerushin to divorce a woman. So first the Rambam opens up here in Halacha Aleph, regarding the qualifications of terminologies that he's been using, regarding what's called the get batel, void get, pasul, invalid, and also regarding the halachas as applies to Savah Gerushin. Rambam says, Kol makom shemanu b'chibur zeh she'get batel. Whatever we said in this compilation, this Yad HaChazaka, that the get is batel, that it's void, or in the get, or it's not a get, or in the get, or it's not divorced, how is a get batel? That says, Rambam, you know what my words mean? It means that it's biblically void. V'adayin yeshe eskemur, and therefore she's a bona fide married woman, the get is like nothing. Now, when this is different, she gets married to someone else. Titzei v'avlad mamza, she has to leave that marriage like a regular married woman, and the child is considered a legitimate child. V'mohi bala kayin, and moreover, if her husband was a kayin, le'nesul mishum grusha, she doesn't become forbidden to him as a divorced woman, if she didn't have relations with anyone else. She's just considered as nothing, as a regular married woman. The paper had no value. Chutz min megarish, her sister b'mamza, except if someone divorces his wife and he says to her, which is an exclusion regarding a kayin. If he says, Harid Magriyashim men, you divorced from me, but the not mutez lakal, but you're not permitted to anyone, Sha'av Bishin to get, although this is also one of the cases where it's not a get, Harid Zabsul Lakun Medibrahim, here she would be actually invalid to her husband Kain, or to any Kain, rabbinically, Shnemaka the Pasit Meyikra, the Isha Grusha Meisha, if a woman's going to be divorced from her husband, which Amacham the Sage said, what you see from that Pasik is, Afilay Nizgosha El Meisha, even if she's only divorced from her husband, meaning, Velahucha lakal, and she's not even permitted to anyone else, Nesul Kuhuna, that's still included in the Isha Grusha that's forbidden to a Kayin, she's been from Kuhun. But this is how Recha Get, Shapoyz Bukun Medivrim. This is what's called just the scent of a Get, which rabbinically invalidates the woman to Kahuna. So that would be the exception to the rule. Generally, if it's not a Get, it's not even the problem for a Kayin, she wasn't divorced. This is a Recha Get, rabbinically, it smells like a Get, and therefore, as we see an allusion from the Pasuk, and therefore that would be a case where she would be rabbinically forbidden to a Kayin, even though it really wasn't a valid Get. But on some level, it looks like a gerush. Halacha base. Whatever we said in this, in these laws of the Yad HaChazaka and the Mishnah Torah, that the get is pasul, invalid. That wording means to say that it's only rabbinically problematic. And therefore, the nivsulim in the makud medivrei Torah. According to biblical law, she is considered divorced, only rabbinically it's not, and therefore she's forbidden to a kain based on biblical law. And therefore, v'leitinas leketchila. Therefore, yeah, initially she can't get married with it because rabbinically it's not a divorce. But then this is leiteitze. That's a big difference to know in all these applications. If it's only rabbinically invalid, if she did get married, we're not going to remove her from the husband because biblically it's a marriage. V'avolot kashan, the child's going to be kashan, not a mamzer. Moreover, however, since rabbinically it's not a valid get, v'chaisim get acha kasher. So you have to write a new get that is valid. The Nislam we give it to her, even if he talks about it, even though she's still with her husband. We don't have to take her out and then remarry. Now, the if it's not possible to write a new get for the woman, the Hoya Bal Vasik, and the husband was a very straight and upstanding individual, so the Gerish Me'atzman is only divorced her because rabbinically it's not considered that their marriage was sanctioned because rabbinically she wasn't divorced from her first husband. So the Ram Harizim Meshubach, that's a praiseworthy individual. If he doesn't have children from her, because she can't get divorced, for whatever reason is that no new get could be written. So, then, okay, divorce her and not be married to her. But only if there's no children. But if they already had children, then he should not divorce her, even though he wants to respect rabbinic law. No, and he shouldn't divorce him because of the rabbinic invalidation of the get, because you're going to be doing something harmful by doing that. It's going to spread rumors about the children. They were illegitimate. Mamzerim. Look, you see how to divorce her. It's not true. Biblically, they're not. So to prevent that, he should not go ahead and divorce her, even though rabbinically they should not have gotten married with that get. Halacha Gimel. Again, another general idea. Whenever we said in this compilation of laws, this is a doubtful divorce. Or she's doubtfully divorced. She's not allowed to get married. The nisim she gets married, she has to leave the marriage. The child is doubtful if it's illegitimate. And she's sveik erva, because we're not sure regarding the biblical law, it's suffik gerishin, which is suffik of an erva, which marriage with an arayas, an erva, the child's a mamzer, but we're not sure, so it's a sveik erva. V'chein, or they take out the gerish of v'chein, a different halacha, im gerish is ish to beget pasul. If a man divorces his wife with a invalid get, or ish a suffik megereshes, v'rasalach zero, or we're not sure if she was divorced, and he wants to take her back, this woman that he divorced with a get puzzle, or wasn't sure if she was really divorced. So really this woman is permitted to her husband, as long as he's Yisrael, a kain would be forbidden, because we said even lower things than that are like a reich get, already makes a puzzle of a kuna. So she's permitted to her husband, and the chiddush of this is, he doesn't have to renew the marriage. He has to renew the kedushin, because biblically she is considered single, and even the Safik Megaresh's case, he has to renew the kedushin, because we're not sure if she's single or if she's still married, so she can't remain with him without a kedushin. And so too, they don't have to be ulevarach sheva brachas, they don't have to make the sheva brachas, because you don't make brachas on the situation of Safik. And v'lech l'ksuba, doesn't have to write her new ksuba, because since from the original gerushin, which was only rabbinically invalid, or because it was Safik gerushin, she wasn't able to collect her ksuba anyway, so he doesn't have to write a new ksuba, because the old one is still there. Until it's a bona fide gerushin, then they would have to go ahead and make a whole new chasen, a whole new kedushin, and that of nesuin and sheva brachas and ksuba. But up until then, he could just take her back, and he doesn't have to do any of these things. Halacha Dalet Rambam continues regarding if the marriage turns out to have been a mistake regarding a married woman or his sister-in-law, as Rambam explains. Kol mishan nisus get batel. So whoever gets married, and that's important, the nisus part, whoever gets married with a get batel, which we said the get was void, sarizit tzrich get mibal shein medivrim. So since she was a married woman all along, rabbinically, however, she needs a get from her second husband. Why? Kadesh lo yimruth, so that people shouldn't say eishes ishtetz b'le get. Married woman is leaving without a get. Because they're going to say, oh, wait a second. Maybe this first guy had divorced her, and she got married to the second guy. And look, she's leaving as a married woman without getting a get. And again, that's specifically if the second person, who is not supposed to, because it was a get bottle, had married her in the suit. Now, with tzricha get menorishin, obviously she needs a get from the first husband, and that's according to the primary halacha, lahatir l'sharam, to permit her to other people, because she's still considered married to her first husband. Now, but v'nesal shnei l'ayim, now she's forbidden to both of these men forever. Although the cohabitation she had with the second man was by mistake, she didn't know that the get was batel. And any woman that's mezana during marriage by mistake, she's actually permitted to her husband. Here she's forbidden to both of them. People shouldn't say, what do you mean? This man took back his wife once she was already married to someone else, which that's biblically prohibited. Now, that's regarding the first husband. Regarding the second husband, why she forbidden to stay with him? That's because of a kenas of a rabbinical penalty, because since she had cohabitation in sin, the woman should have been more careful to check, to make sure, go in front of a sage to say, is this a good get or not? And he would have told her, no, this is batel. Now, vim aver echad mishneim v'chazir, if let's say one of the men violate this iser and do take her back, yetzi, they have to divorce her, she cannot stay married to any one of these men. And the Ram continues in Halacha Hey, v'chein adin, the same Halacha applies be'isha shabo edim shemeis bala v'nissus. If let's say the witnesses that come along and say, hey, your husband passed away, which that allows her, and she goes and she gets remarried, and even if two witnesses have testified it, and that doesn't make her, that she's, that the chiddush is, that does not make her into anusa, which generally for a woman was violated against her will, she's permitted to her first husband. Here, even though two witnesses, and you can rely on them, but that doesn't make you into an einus, if she goes and she gets married to someone else, and guess what? Her husband comes along, he's still alive. And this is an added chiddush over here, says the Rambam. Whether if the husband was a totally sane person, whether he's a deaf mute, whether she got subsequently married to a totally sane person, whether she got married to a deaf mute, even if the kedushin to a cheresh is not a bona fide kedushin, and even though you would say, okay, so wait a second, we don't have to have the concern over here that, oh, they're going to say that the first husband is taking back his gerusha after she got married, because the second kedushin that she did with the cheresh is only rabbinic, and either way she'd be able to go back to her husband, because we don't call it lo yuchal bala rishon lashav lekachta, because biblically the second kedushin wasn't anything. Even so, no, Teitzi B'Shemesh has to leave from both of them. She needs to get from either one of them, as we said in the previous halacha. And she's forbidden to both of them forever. And the reason this is, the second person she's forbidden because she did in sin, so we penalize her. So the first husband, even though he's a Bekech and the second one was a Cheresh, but so that we don't permit when this regular woman gets remarried to a Pekeach, so therefore even when he's a Cheresh, we say that still it's going to be forbidden for the first husband to take her back. Now this was all, as we said in the previous halacha, if she got married with a get batel. But now halacha above says, Ram, harishin is katsha. Let's say this woman had kedushin. She never yet had cohabitation. So it comes out that there was never any iser, and there's no way to penalized over here. So she only got engaged to this other man. Then her husband comes along. It comes out of the get was really void. Here she is permitted to her original husband. She doesn't even need to get from the second man. Because all they did was kedushin, and kedushin does not take effect in the erva, in the woman that's biblically prohibited, which she is, because she's still Eish HaSish. Now, and the Rambam comes to address, but why is it different than the previous halachas that we said when she got married to the second person? Because the Eichet Shem Yim, we're not concerned that maybe people are going to say Eish HaSish Yitzim Lai Get. What do you mean, a married woman's leaving without a get? Kimish Lai Nis, because she didn't get married. You know what people are going to say? They're going to say, oh, Tanai Hayyub Kedushim Lai Niskayim. There must have been a stipulation by the kedushin, which was not fulfilled, and therefore that uprooted the kedushin. Oh, and therefore you don't need a get. But when she got married to that second man, then you can't say that, oh, there must have been a condition that was not fulfilled, because nobody makes a tanai by nisuin, because that's going to make retroactively any bia he had with her as a bia's nus. So even if there was a tanai, that tanai is bottled when they get married, so therefore that's not going to be a valid approach. And this explains what we mentioned in the previous parak too, a differentiation between kedushin or nisuin. Kedushin, you would say, a person did it al tanai, and maybe that's why she's leaving without a get. But by nisuin, no one does it al tanai, because you're having bia. And that's why by Nisuin we said you have to have a get rabbinically. But by Kedushin, if all she did with the second person is, she doesn't even have to have a get, and she go back to her first husband. And she's not penalized to her first husband because she never had any bia b'isser with the second man. Halacha Zayin, Ha'isha Shenisis. If a woman gets married, B'nimtza get batel, and turns out, she got married, she got remarried, turns out the get was void. They didn't realize this, or something was wrong with the get. Or she got remarried because he died, and guess what? After she heard that he's dead, he's still alive. So, as we said in the previous halachas, she's forbidden to both of them. So, ena bala rishon v'shini zakein. So, neither one, the first or the second husband, they don't have rights. Lebe ben tziasa, not if she finds a lost object. I mean, the second one, because it's not his wife. She's still married to the first one, turns out. First one also doesn't have any rights, because the whole reason why we say that the woman's mitzvah goes to her husband is so that there shouldn't be enmity between the two of them. We don't care. Because anyways, we want her to get divorced from the two of them. Neither Vlibi Maisi dead, neither do they get the rights to her handiwork, because the husband only gets Maisi dam because of Mazinus. And here, as we're going to say shortly, she doesn't get Mazinus, so they don't get her Maisi dam. Vlibi Fonsen and the Red, they don't have the rights to nullify her vows. The whole reason is that when she makes a vow, like I'm not going to bathe or I'm not going to put on jewelry, is that she shouldn't be disgraced by him. Hey, we want to be disgraced so that they leave the marriage. And Bechal Perish Achlish name Achash, and this is any produce that the derivatives that the any one of these husbands eat after that she got married, Imati Mehem. We don't remove that from them, because the truth is they should really return it, because the whole reason why the husband gets the payrus is because of the obligation to redeem her. And here, actually, if she's like taking captivity, they don't have to redeem her, because we don't say what the ksuba says, I'm going to take you back as a wife. But the sages said, since tnai ksuba is ksuba, and this is one of the tnai ksuba, and here she doesn't get a ksuba, as Rambam is going to shortly say, so therefore she doesn't get the tnai ksuba either. Now, the truth is, the second husband really ate inappropriately, because he wasn't married to her at all, but the rabbis penalized her because she got married to him in sin, that he doesn't have to give her back the payrus that he ate. So to Ve'en L'Ksuba, she doesn't get a Ksuba, because the whole point of the Ksuba was that it shouldn't be light in the husband's eye to remove her. Here we want to be light because we want him to remove her. And V'loy T'nai B'tnoi Ksuba, neither does she get any conditions of the Ksuba. V'loy Mezayin, she doesn't get sustenance. La'azah V'loazah, not in either one of the husbands. V'mnot L'mezayin, if she does take from either one of them, Tavzah, she has to give it back. Moreover, anything that got worn out or got lost from her properties of the principle of the Nichsi Miluk, even from that which is the iron ones with the guarantee, we don't extract it from either one of those husbands. Rather, we give it back as it is in its deficient state. And the child from the second husband is a mamzer because she was never married to him, it was illegitimate. Now, also, if the first one, the original husband, goes and has relations with her before the second one divorces her, so then it's going to be considered as a rabbinic mamzer, because we said rabbinically we require him to give her a get. So therefore, until he does, the child from the first husband, if he has relations with her after this story happened, is going to be rabbinically as a mamzer. Now, gersha sheni, v'notman iksuba. What happens if, let's say, she got remarried, and that marriage didn't work out, she got divorced from him, and she takes iksuba, like a regular divorcee, the achikar bobal, and the husband only comes after she had really gotten divorced from the second husband. It turns out the get was void. So really the truth is she doesn't deserve a ksuba because they weren't even married. But once she already took it, we don't take away from her what she already took. Not from the sustenance that she took, and not from the ksuba that she took. These are halachas that we're saying about, turns out this was one big mistake. Same thing applies to brothers. One of the brothers got engaged to a woman. V'halach achav b'shem abay shemes. Now, one of the brothers went, and he heard that his brother, who went away, who was engaged, died. So he did yibim to his wife. V'achach bo, and then the brother comes back. Now, the one who did yibim to her is forbidden to her, both because she's a married woman, and because it's his brother's wife. So teitzim zeh mezeh, she has to leave both men, both brothers. But she can get mezeh mezeh, she needs to get from either one of them. As we said, from one is the primary, one is because of the appearance. And all the halachas that we said previously applies here too. In another case is a mekidish isha. If let's say a man was mekadish, got engaged to a woman, and she went overseas, and he heard that she died. So he married her sister, which you're allowed to. It's only forbidden when the woman is alive. Finds out that she's not dead. Now both women need a get from him, as the Rambam is going to explain later on in Halacha Yud why that is the case. And all these halachas that we're saying apply in this situation too. Now halacha test. This only if he was engaged to the woman. Let's say he was married, and his married wife went to another country, he heard that she died, but not so he married her sister, and then it turns out she's really alive. In this situation, the sister does not require a get, the one that he subsequently got married to, doesn't even need a get, as if they were never married to get a get. The Ishta Materis, and his wife is permitted to him, because everybody knows that must have been the marriage was a mistake, because the sister is alive. And already said that you couldn't, it's not like you made a condition regarding marriage. So everyone knows that the second marriage is nothing, and you don't need a get. And therefore, obviously the first sister is permitted, because she's not a Chiz Gerusha, which that would have been the concern. Maybe they're saying, he married the second one and divorced her, now take, which you can't marry a Chiz Gerusha. Everyone knows it's not Chiz Gerusha. She doesn't need a get, and they were never married, and it was a big mistake, but he's still married to the first one. Same thing is regarding all prohibited arayas. Let's say you get married with a presumption that's permitted. You didn't know that she's a relative. But nimta ever turns out that you find out that she's a biblical erva. And she doesn't need a get. She ain't kedushin doesn't arise. Because kedushin is not taifas by arayas. And therefore there was no marriage here whatsoever. And therefore there's no halacha requiring that of a get. Halacha Yud Rambam explains what he has said in halacha ches. Says, then why was it when his fiancée, the girl he was engaged to, when she went overseas, then, and he thought she died and she got married to the sister, then the sister of the Arusa requires a get? Why? It's an erva. And you said just a moment ago that kedushin is not taifas in erva. Why do you need a get? Because maybe people are going to say, people are not going to realize. They're going to think that maybe the girl that he was engaged to, there was a condition. It was never fulfilled. So there was no kedushin. Oh, but kadas nozachis. They're going to think, oh, yeah, according to the law, he was permitted to marry the sister because she was never engaged retroactively from that first wife. Ah, but hoyle biyotzachis we get. So that's why we require a get. But people are going to say that, what if she's leaving without a get? Now, but hoyle biyotzachis we get. So therefore, once the sister is leaving with a get, achis she arasasi rishonis. So now, her sister, which was the first woman that he was engaged to, is now asurus forbidden. Okay, shalem. So people shouldn't say nozachis kirushasa. He's marrying the sister of the woman he divorced, who's an erva, until the woman that he engaged is until that woman, one of them, die, and then he's permitted in the other one. But the point is that here we require the achais arusa to get, as we explained, because people might assume that the first one that was only engaged was never, the condition was never fulfilled, and people make kedushin on al tnai. So therefore, you need to have a get by the arusa. By the chayis arusa, and because of that, now that's why the original wife is forbidden, because people can say, "Oh, it's a ger grusha, nice man, chayis grusha." So therefore, both are forbidden. Halacha Yud Aleph, Ram talks about what happens if there's an error in the delivery of the get, as he says, "Kasva sefer v'tal." Let's say the scribe writes the get, he makes a mistake, but nothing get leish. He gives the get to the man, the shayv leisha, and he gives the receipt, which is what the woman gives to the husband when she receives her ksuba. He gives that leisha to the woman. Leisha to him, or even they themselves make the mistake. Meaning, menotla bala get, the husband, menotla bala get, the husband takes the get, menotla hi hashem, and she takes the receipt. And they think, oh, she's divorced. They swap the documents. But lachazman, and later on, they realize, they see he's holding the get, and she's supposed to have the get, and she has the receipt, and he's supposed to have the receipt. So imlinus, if she didn't get married yet, harizein magresh, she's not divorced. Obviously, it's revealed that she was never really divorced. The wrong document was given to her. She should give the get in front of us. But she'll be divorced at that time when it's given over at that time. Now, but if she already was married, and then subsequently the husband produces the get, and he says, hey, I don't know, she was never divorced. So I get the other, like, the get was always in my hand, and she never even got it. Interestingly, says the Rambam, we don't listen to him to make her forbidden on her husband. She has the presumption that she was divorced, as everyone had assumed up until now. Must be, but not for like any other. Must have been she dropped the get and he found it. Very now he's going to make her forbidden on her second husband. He's not believed to create a loss for the rights of the second husband, because we're concerned maybe they're making some type of trick and they're really swapping the documents after she was already married, and therefore actually we don't believe him and she remains married. What happens if there's a doubt regarding that of the conclusiveness of the one who wants to divorce his wife? As follows. Let's say someone is removing his wife because of the bad name that she has, which word's going around that she was Mizana. She prudes up in the dorm because she's indiscriminate regarding making vows. So we tell the husband who wants to divorce us, this is not an appropriate wife to have. But we tell him, hey, Dia, let her know, that's why you're divorcing her, so that you, to rebuke her that Jewish women are not supposed to be doing such things, and that's why you're divorcing her. But you should know that you're never going to be able to remarry her ever again. As Ram explains, why is whoever divorces a wife in such a context is not allowed to ever remarry her again? Even if it turns out that it was all false, which generally you're allowed to remarry if she didn't marry anyone else in the interim, how come here he cannot remarry her? Xer, it's rabbinic concern. Shematin aslacha, maybe she might get married to someone else. Vitasa tshuva, and she can repent. And v'tietz nu tachtamin, with that husband, she's going to be very modest and very discreet. The Yom Rishon, the first time, is going to say, whoa, Ili is a dish again. If I would have known that she could be like this, Lo'yizim Agarsha, I would never have divorced her. The Nimtze comes out, Kim Agarsha, it's as if like he's divorcing her on condition, which was, he thought that, oh, because she's not appropriate. V'leinus Kaim, and so to speak, the condition is not fulfilled. Because it turns out she really is a tznua. For the Nimtze, I get Badal Mafreya, it comes out that the get is void retroactively, and it comes out that the children from the second husband are mamzer. Now, although according to the primary halacha, there's no substance in what he's saying because he didn't make such a stipulation when he gave the get, but the chacham were concerned about word, the rumors that people are going to say because of the dignity of the woman and her sons. So the fikachem le'divre, they tell him gemar b'libch legarsha, make up your mind to divorce her. Shein zu chazeres l'chalayim, this woman you're never taking back ever again. Now, if he does take her back before she got engaged to anyone else, lo yitzi, he doesn't have to divorce her. Rabbinically, we say he shouldn't, but once he did, he doesn't have to divorce her. Halacha yigimel. So too, if let's say a man's divorcing a wife because she's an islandess, meaning he thinks that she's an islandess, meaning that she can't have children, she exhibiting these signs or whatever, so it turns out it seems that she can't have children. She's like, I need a wife to have children. So let's say he's divorcing her because every time they have marital intimacy, she has dam. It's from the general area, which that makes her forbidden on her husband. So he's like, I can't be married to such a woman. I mean, that can never be intimate. So I raise the layers again, this woman he can never remarry ever again. For a similar reason. She might get married to someone else, but Taylor Island is this, so to speak, honest, gives birth. Over this Rabbi Nido, this woman who was constantly menstruating, every time they were intimate, suddenly gets healed. And she's not really Dam Achmas Tashmash. The Emmy's going to say, oh, Elias Adishikin, if I would have known there's been a case, oh, Elias Magush, I would never divorce her. And then say, get bottle of Aban Mamzerim, comes out that the Gettel is now void and the children of Mamzerim. So then we tell him, no. This is a done deal. You can never take her back. Don't start claiming that, oh, had I known, etc., etc. Now, but again, if he did take her back and remarry her, Layetzi doesn't have to divorce her if she was not engaged to anyone in the meantime. Halachi Dald Ram continues regarding the prohibition of marriage to someone that was the one that actually permits her to get remarried to someone else. As Ram says, Shaliach, the agent, Shevi Get Chutzlartz, I brought the get from out of Eretz Yisrael. Where there we require Bama that he says, we rely on him. Then he said in front of me, it was written in front of me, it was signed. I originally said, that shleich cannot marry that woman. Shalachesh, we're concerned. Maybe he laid eyes on her. Therefore he's testifying, but it's only because he wants to marry her. But really it's not 100% true. So too, let's say the singular witness, that he testifies to the woman that her husband died, with Allah is a leniency by Iguna, but Nisus Alpiv, she get married based on his testimony. He cannot marry her because he might be saying this because he wants to be with her. So to the sage who makes a woman forbidden to her husband regarding a neder that she made, that he says, look, I can't be matter the neder. There's no way out of this. The neder, now she's going to be forbidden to her husband. If he's the one that's saying that she's usher because of that, he cannot marry her because he might be doing this because he wants to marry her. Or so too, let's say this rumor is going around about someone having relations with a maidservant, and then the nishtacha, she gets freed. Now she's a regular Jewish woman. Well, nachas, regarding that, they're saying that he had relations with this non-Jewish woman. Then this guy, she converts to Judaism. Again, he should not marry her, that people shouldn't say, oh, must have been the original rumors were true. Look, that's why he's marrying her. So to the other way around, if a non-Jewish man or slave cohabited with a Jewish woman, even if subsequently the guy, the non-Jew, converts to Judaism, and the slave goes and becomes a free man, he should not marry the woman. The people shouldn't say, oh, he only converted or became freed because of this woman. But in all these situations, if they violate and they get married, even to miyadam, again, biblically, it is a valid marriage. Halacha d'zvav. However, all these individuals, if they had wives at the time that this story happened, either when he was the shliach, or when he was the dayin, or whatever it is, when he was testifying that the husband died, and subsequently these individuals' wives die, or they get divorced, but it was the woman that was provoking her husband to divorce her. So again, from these two situations, if the wife dies, or if the wife forced the husband to divorce her, so those men, whether they be the shliach or whatever, then they're permitted to marry this woman, even initially, because now there's no more suspicion. Because at the time when he testified, or when he was the sage, he had a wife, and he had no intention to marry this woman. So his wife dying, obviously, is not something that he knew about. And when she provoked him, his original wife, to get divorced, obviously that was not his own doing. But again, if he went and provoked, that still might be, because he wants that woman. Another exemption would be, if let's say these women who are being permitted go and marry other men, and them in the Salmonian discussion, then they get widowed or get divorced from whoever they had married, then they're permitted even initially go ahead and marry these men who had permitted them, because since they married other men in the meantime, that removes all suspicion from the original man who permitted them. Halacha design. So to b'chol achas mehen, all these women are permitted to get married leben ha'echeila, to the son of the one who had testified that her husband died, or to the son of the sage who had made her forbidden to her husband, thus forcing the divorce, or the son of the man that there's rumors going around that she had relations with, or any one of his other relatives. What's known as person does not sin, which is to really lie and make her that she's divorced when she's really not, so that someone else, whether it be a son or some relative, to have pleasure. For himself, we suspect, but for someone else, he wouldn't do such an aver. So to umateresa ishli nasei, a woman's permitted to get married, le'echad me'ed girusha. If there's witnesses on her divorce, one of those witnesses she's permitted to get married to, oy me'ed me'yoneho, or the witnesses on her miyun, which is the witnesses who testify that this girl under bas mitzvah did miyun from her rabbinic marriage to the husband, oy le'echad men hadayam shechaz b'vnim, or one of the judges that chalitza was done in front of them, one of those, then that's permitted. We're only concerned when the testimony comes down to one individual, because we don't think that people are going to join together for one of them to have this sinful relationship. And parenthetically, Rambam says, he mentioned that of chalitza and miyun, he says, we spoke about these witnesses. A person should always distance himself from being a witness regarding miyun, which is the girl's ability to leave the marriage, because maybe she's going to get adult, she's going to have regrets what she did when she was a minor. So don't be those witnesses, don't be party to that. But be yiskrav the chalitza, rather, and should become close to try to be witnesses on the chalitza, because even though primarily according to halacha, we prefer yibim over the chalitza, but people are not so righteous, and therefore better that they do chalitza, and so try to be witnesses on the chalitza, to permit the woman to get married to someone else. Halacha yedzayin. Now the Rambam goes regarding a concern, regarding if the husband took back his wife after the divorce. Says Rambam, Hamagarsis Ishtai. Someone divorces his wife. Then after the divorce, he has cohabitation with her, b'fnei edim, in front of witnesses, before she got married to someone else. Because she got married to someone else, he's forbidden to her, because machzik rishas. But before she got married to someone else, so bein shegeshim, and whether he was divorcing her from marriage, or bein menayis, and whether it's because of from they were just engaged, but since this woman that he subsequently had beer with was his wife, so we can presume that he was remarrying her, and that the bia was for kedushin, which halachically you could do, which is the first step of getting married. But lo l'shem, and it wasn't just for illicit relations. And even though they see him giving her money, we don't say that that's like the esnan zayna, that he's paying her for her services, and that the bia was for that of znos. Because there's a presumption that a person would never make his cohabitation with his former wife or a wife with a bia of znus, of illicit relations. Because he can make the bia into a mitzvah. So most definitely he's not going to make it into ma'aseh znus. This woman now therefore has a presumption right now that she has a definite kedushin, even though he didn't even tell her this, that I'm doing the bia for purpose of a kedushin. But therefore she's going to require a second get from him. Let's say they didn't see him having bia with her, but he secluded himself with her in front of two witnesses. They saw them go into a locked room. And this is it has to be that the two witnesses saw this at the same time. So here it depends. If this his ex-wife, the woman that he divorced, they had been married, then we're concerned that maybe what's going on in that room is that he had bia with her. Because this is what's known in a famous dictum, that witnesses who see seclusion are witnesses that are seeing bia. Because since they were already very intimate and familiar, they had been married once, so most definitely they couldn't hold themselves back from each other, and we could suspect that they had bia. And shekol mekadesh bebia, because whoever does kiddushin generally with bia, in a tzarech level b'fnei eidim, you don't have to do the actual act of cohabitation in front of witnesses. Rather, he's taking the girl that had shidduchim with, and he goes and secludes himself in front of the witnesses, and he does the bia in private. Commission, like we explained in Perek Gimel of Mechaseishes. So lefikach tzrich get misafik. So here in this situation, out of doubt, because we definitely could suspect that there was bia over here for the purpose of the kedushin, so they would require a get out of doubt. Vahari safek megadesh, and therefore she considered doubtful engaged to her former husband. But that was only if she was megadeshes, she had been married to him once before. But the ma'isim megadesh in the erusin, she was divorced only from engagement. In chayshul, they were not concerned for that. Sharein libekaspa, because he's not so intimate with her, and although they secluded and they violated the laws of yichud, we're not suspecting that there was a kedushin to say that there was a safek kedushin because he was secluded with a girl. Now, Halach Yitzes says, Ram, how you mix this again? Some of the Goyim, they rule, Shekol Isha Shetibol B'fnei Edom, any woman that he has cohabitation with in front of witnesses, people see him cohabiting with a woman, Tzrich HaGet. She requires a get from him. Why? Chazaka, presumption, She'ein on the Ma'isa B'ilah Zabila Znos, a person not going to make his cohabitation of his nose, as the Ravid explains. We presume that Jewish people are, upstanding, and they're not breached with Znos, and if he's having relations with her, we have to suspect that this was done for the purpose of a kedushin. Now, says the Rambam, moreover, v'higdilu v'yisivu b'davazeh. Now, they even increased this idea, sh'allah daitim, that they entertained to say, atcha'ara, until they ruled, shemishi yishle b'mishav chaseh, if someone has a son from his maidservant, his non-Jewish maidservant, who he's forbidden to, chayishna, we have to be suspect, if we know he fathered a child with her, that v'loy tisya mishtay. We have to go so far to say that, with his regular wife, that he didn't have children with. If he does without any children, and he only has the son that was from this maidservant, then his wife doesn't do yibum. Why not? The son from a non-Jewish maidservant is not considered his son. We have to be concerned, shema shichur shivchasai. We have to suspect, maybe he freed the maidservant, which makes her into a full-fledged Jewish woman. And then he had cohabitation with her, and therefore she was a regular Jewish woman, and therefore he did have a child. Because chazaka, he wouldn't make his bia's nose, he would do it in a kosher way. Says the Rambam, that's to suspect. But the Yesh Mishar says, some who rule, Shevadi Shechur. No, for sure he freed her. The person would not make his bia into bia of Znus, and since he has the ability to free her, he would never do it, like the rabbit says, in a forbidden way, rather he would do it in a permitted way. But says the Rambam, Chol Varma Eilo, all these ideas we just mentioned, there's a very distance from my eyes in the ways of halachic ruling. It's not appropriate to rely on them. Because the Rambam says they didn't say this presumption. Only regarding his wife that he had divorced. Or if someone, let's say, he made kedushin with a condition. And then when he had bia, he did it without specifying, as the Rambam explains in Hilchos Ishtos in Perek Zayin. Then, because it's his wife. And with a wife, we could presume that he's not going to make it into illicit relations. Until he specifies that it's for znos. Or he's specifying that, no, I'm doing this be only in condition and it's not fulfilled. Well, it's like we were never engaged and it's going to be like znos. But if he doesn't specify, that's what we say chazaka, that it was done l'shem kedushin. But other women? If he's having relations with a harlot, We presume it was done for purposes of his nose, not that he was getting engaged with her. until he specifies, I'm doing this for kedushin purposes. And therefore says the Rambam, ain't tzarich limud enough to say, like in the case of the goyim that's spoken about, b'shivcha, a maidservant, or goy, or a non-Jewish woman, she'ain't about kedushin, that she's not even a woman that can even have kedushin in her current state, she ain't chashim klal, we don't have to be concerned with that at all. And therefore, so the son that he fathered from them, b'cheskes goy, has the presumed status of a non-Jew and a slave, which therefore has no significance regarding yibum, it's like he doesn't have any children, until you know definitively that the mother was freed, or that she converted, but up until then, we don't say this principle of enod ma'isabilas abilasnos. Now, Allah of the Ram continues with, what if the word gets out that this woman is divorced? Someone that had a presumption that she was a married woman, a regular married woman from the neighborhood, whether she was married because they had nisuin or whether she's a married woman because they had been engaged, then words going around that she's divorced. And says the Rama, fill of Roy Vir, even if the majority of the city or all of the city, everyone in town, they're spreading the word that she's divorced, we don't have to be concerned for that. She remains with her chazaka until we know otherwise that she's a married woman. But let's say it started otherwise. She was a single girl. Word going around that she's engaged, and then the word gets to a presumptive state in the courts, which that makes her, okay, we hear the word, and therefore, out of doubt, we consider as engaged, like we explained in Perek Tes Milchas Ishes. Then, after that, the Kedushin was from rumors, then words coming around, more rumors that she's actually divorced from that kedushin. So here's what's called hakoila sara v'hakoila tira. So the rumors is what makes her forbidden, and the rumors is what makes her permitted. Oh, in that situation, by reason of aggression, then she can be considered divorced and she can be permitted to other people, because that's what's called kol v'shabara imai. The rumor with the receipt is all there, and most definitely over there, she can be forbidden to her husband. That's a kain. We're going to consider her as divorced, because the same thing that made her forbidden is what's permitting her. But if she's regular bona fide ish ish, then a rumor itself is not going to be saying and verifying that she's divorced. Halacha Vav, the Ram continues in related vein, who is appropriate to divorce and who not. So the Ram, lo'isa adam isha, v'dayt lagash. First of all, a person should not get married to a woman who intend to divorce her. He's like, hey, why not? Let me have a good time, and then I'll divorce her. No, that should not be your intention when you're marrying, that, oh, I'll divorce her later on. Moreover, v'leti yishevas tachtav. Neither should she even remain married with him, u'mishamashtay, and have relations with her. But v'dayt lagash, she's like, you know what, I really want to divorce her, but you know what, let me just, you know, continue having intimacy for the time being. No, that shouldn't be done either. Moreover, the person should not divorce his first wife unless he finds something that of immorality idea. So like it says in the pasuk, "Kim matzah be'erbes dava v'gam." Like the pasuk in the bar, if you find an element of arayus regarding her, then you divorce her. And moreover, the ain roller lamar l'shalach ish rishon. Don't be quick to send away your first wife. Now that's regarding the first wife. Avoshneya, the second wife, imsneya. If he doesn't like her, then you shall send. He could send her away. This has a different halachic standing. Moreover, halacha based on the Ram, isha ro b'dei yosal, a woman who has bad characteristics. She's always fighting with him. She goes and she prepares the meal and she curses him out until he eats the meal. It's all paining him. Or if she ain't tznuah k'bnei Yisrael k'sheres, or she's not modest like the Jewish upstanding women, mitzvah garsha. It's a mitzvah to divorce her. Like it says in the pasuk in Mishlei, garish leds, chase away the scoffer, the sinner, v'yitzim adon, and then you release dispute. So it's good to get rid of such a woman. Now, and a woman who gets divorced because of being immodest, of being breached in halacha, it's not appropriate to an upstanding man to marry her. The people shouldn't say, this guy gets rid of the wicked one from his house, and this guy takes her in, so therefore it's not appropriate to marry, Adam Kasha should marry her. Halacha of Gimel. Someone that his wife became a deaf mute. Harizim Agar should beget. The team agreshes, he can divorce her with a kid, and she'll be divorced. Because although a chereshes doesn't have intelligence, doesn't make a difference, a woman can divorce against her will, and we don't need her das. But if she came mentally deranged, then you cannot divorce her until she becomes healthy. This is Ram, that's a rabbinic injunction, because obviously biblically we don't need her das, but it's kadesh leite hefkel aprutin, that she shouldn't be free for inappropriate people. So she can't protect herself. She's mentally deranged, and people are going to do inappropriate things with her. So therefore, rather he leaves her in his house. But obviously he can marry another woman. umachilo umashka mishalom, and he gives her to eat and to drink from her own stuff. Meaning, he essentially gives her ksuba, because he's prepared to divorce her. It's only the sages who prevent him from divorcing her, so that people should not mistreat her inappropriately, but he doesn't have an obligation to support her, and therefore she eats and she gets clothed from her own finances. Now, obviously from Tekan's Rabbi Negershim, and that point onwards, the halacha is not like that, but the custom is in today's times to have what's called the Hetamei Rabbanim, which under extreme circumstances, 100 Rabbanim sign and say that even though he can't force the get, but that permits him to get remarried. Now, and we don't obligate this husband of the mentally deranged woman to give her clothing and food and intimacy, because it's not in the ability of an intelligent person to live with mentally deranged people in one house. So he doesn't send her away, but we don't have to obligate him to keep her as a regular wife. And he doesn't have to heal her. Now, the rabbi points out, he says, wait a second. If she could be healed, why wouldn't he heal her? What do you mean? There's many mentally deranged people that ultimately get healed. So the truth is that the Rambam doesn't intend to say that he doesn't have to heal her. He just means from other illnesses, because that's not his obligation. Like I said, he doesn't have to feed her and do all these things. But from this illness itself, most definitely, like a regular husband, he has an obligation to heal his wife. And neither does the obligation of Leila not to redeem her if she gets taken in captivity. But the Imgersha, if he does divorce, so we say he shouldn't, but if he does, Hariz Imgersha, again, biblically, she is divorced, as the rabbi said, as long as she's able to safeguard her get. Matsiman Beis, and then he sends her out from his house. And the Inchayiv Lachsu Litabu doesn't have to go take her back and to deal with her, but he is obligated to give her the ksuba, because ultimately this blemish of being mentally deranged only happened after they had been engaged, and that's considered his bad mazel. But again, we tell him not to divorce her, that's rabbinic, but if he did, then he could send her away and he has no obligation to continue dealing with her.